Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Esampastaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swamine Tanamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nivasesa Sanyavadi Prasachide Satarane Om Ganatumilandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chaksu Samilatan Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobistam, Stapitam Jaina Bhutale, Sayam Rupa Kadamayam, Dadati Sahapandantikam. Vansa Kalpa Trubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha, Patitanam Pabhinebhyo, Vaishnadebhyo Namo Nama. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. How many of you have been in the shelter of Govardhan previously? Or is this, yeah. How many of you, it's the first time you've been to Giriraj? Okay, just one, two. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't Giriraj wonderful? Just the atmosphere in Vrindavan is wonderful. But the atmosphere around Giriraj Govardhan is especially wonderful. When I was asked to speak, first, the devotees told me I could speak about anything I want. But then it was suggested that I speak about His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj for 15 minutes or so, and then speak about whatever I want. And then I was told, why don't you speak about Govardhan Leela? So I got very confused. What am I supposed to do? But I decided to try to speak about, to do all three. And I'll just begin. First, I'll speak about Govardhan Leela. How many devotees have heard many Govardhan Leela katas since they've come here? So, Matidli, you haven't heard? Oh yeah, by the way, sometimes I talk to the people in the audience. So not the audience, well, the devotees who are listening. Hare Krishna, Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna. So happy to see you. Are you happy to be here? And have you been managing while you're here? Do you have your mobile phone with you? Okay, you have to turn it off. So I will say a few things about Govardhan Leela. Now, everyone knows so much about Giriraj and Govardhan Leela. And I will tell you, of course, I will say a few things about how the Leela began, how Krishna, in a very, very cute way, was speaking to Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Baba, and saying, what is the purpose of this Leela? What is the purpose of the sacrifice that you're performing to Indra? And then Nanda Maharaj just wanted to please Krishna. And when Krishna told him that there's no need to perform a sacrifice for Indra, Why did Nanda Maharaj wanted to perform a sacrifice to Indra? Raise your hand. Yes, Prabhu, you're so fast at raising your hand. Why?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Because I'm, by nature, I'm a teacher, so that's why, and I want all the students to stay awake and attentive. So you have to be careful. I may call on you. Mataji's also.
Actually, Krishna, once again, please repeat the question, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Why did Nanda Maharaj want to perform the Indra Yagya?
Nanda Maharaj was thinking that this rain is provided by Indra only.
Yes, and he needed the rain.
Yeah.
And Krishna told him so many things, including the ocean doesn't perform any yagya, yeah, and still it rains on the ocean. He gave so many reasons, basically from Karma Mamangsa philosophy. But that wasn't why Nanda Maharaj stopped the Indra Yagya. He stopped the Indra Yagya because he only wanted to please Krishna. This is the nature of the Brijbasis. They only want to please Krishna. If you want to be a Brijbasi, one has to develop that type of love for Krishna. I only want to please you, Krishna. It's very easy to say, but not so easy to really be in that mood. Because everyone in the material world has ahankara, and ahankara means selfishness, self-centeredness. But in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, there is prema bhakti in a special mood. And that actually is why we join the Hare Krishna movement, because we want that. There's a special sweetness. That's what Mahaprabhu came to give. That's what Prabhupada came to distribute. And that is what the followers of Prabhupada aspire for and want to distribute. So Nanda Maharaj stopped the Govardhan Leela, he stopped the Indra Yagya. And to insult Indra still further, Krishna insisted that the very ingredients that were meant for the Indra Yagya be not given to Indra, but be given to Giriraj Govardhan. So then the next day, or very soon after, they performed the Govardhan. They served Giriraj Govardhan by cooking unlimited amounts of food. And this area, actually not exactly here, but there, is called Anukut Ketra, Chetra. Just the place that was completely filled with food to offer to Giriraj. And Krishna himself accepted that food. He himself bowed down to that form of Giriraj. And then all the devotees, all the Brijbasis, circumambulated Govardhan Hill, the cows, the Brahmins, and it was such a happy festival, and everyone was filled with so much joy. Raise your hand if you've ever circumambulated Govardhan Hill. I also did. You, did you ever walk around Giriraj? But you didn't raise your hand. Okay, I'll try it one more time. Everyone who's walked around Giriraj Govardhan, done complete Govardhan Prakrama, raise your hands. Hey, very good. What's your name? What's his name?
Lakshit.
Say again, please.
Lakshit.
Lakshit? Lakshit. Very nice to meet you. How old are you?
10 years old.
And you look so strong. Very good. Are you strong? You're shy also, humble soul. So after the Govardhan Parikrama, everyone was so happy except for one person. And we all know who that one person was. And do you know what? Who was that person, Lakshit? Who was not happy when Giriraj was being worshipped? Now I have an opportunity to chastise Brijan Prabhu. No talking, otherwise. Usually I say, Brijan Prabhu ki jai. So who was that one person who was not happy when Giriraj was being worshipped? Lakshit? Who was the person not happy? Someone tell him quickly.
Indra.
Yes, Indra was not happy. We all know this. Why was not Indra happy? This is an audience over here. What was the major problem that Indra had? This is actually described in the Bhagavatam. What is the major fault that he had? Raise your hand, please. Yes, you are the first.
It's his ego, ego.
Yes, but that wasn't what's described. Mataji, you raised your hand very quickly. This is a very important point.
Because he was jealous of why Giriraj is being worshipped.
What word did you say there?
Jealous.
He was jealous. Yes, he was certainly jealous, but that's not what his major fault was. But if I call on someone in the back, it takes so long for the microphone to get there. So just right here.
He was pride that I am the overall controller.
He was proud. He had so much power. He had so much opulence. He had so much beauty. And he was proud. So this comes up in a devotee's life very often, that one may be given many gifts by Krishna, gifts and abilities and opulence, but one always has to be careful about becoming proud. And what's the cure for pride? What's the opposite of pride? Humility. And humility, in one sense, should be very easy to achieve, because I could say for myself, people will say nice things about me, but who knows better than me? Of course, my wife knows a lot, but that they're not true. But, well, there's more. There's the faults. So there's no reason to be proud, actually, especially if whatever we have is a gift of Krishna. And I can tell you from my own experience, in 1 second, whatever gift you have can be taken away also. I used to be able to run all day long. Practically speaking, I would run for hours and hours and hours and not get tired. And I was proud of that. But now it's hard even to walk. Krishna can take whatever gifts he has given us by his causeless mercy away like that. So we have no reason to be proud, actually. But Indra, but not only Indra, everyone in the material world has the fault of pride. And when one is proud, one easily becomes angry. And then when one becomes angry, one easily becomes envious and jealous and wishes harm for others. So Indra had all these. But we don't just criticize Indra, Because every conditioned soul is affected with the same diseases. This is what it means, ahankara vamudatma, bewildered by false ego. This is what it means to be a conditioned soul. But this isn't what I wanted to talk about at all. So Indra, we know, poured down so much rain and lightning. And just imagine, one sacrifice was stopped, and he's the king of heaven. One sacrifice was stopped, and he wanted to destroy all of Braja, including kill all the cows. So when one is proud and one becomes angry, we can understand. Unfortunately, I also know this from my own experience. When I become angry, I'm capable of doing anything, practically speaking. So therefore, we try to avoid the whole lifestyle of devotees. It's all meant for this one thing, to keep the devotees in sattva-gun so they have clearer consciousness, so that they have ability to learn to love Krishna, to perceive things differently, to see Krishna in all things. But that's not what I wanted to speak about either. So Indra showered down so much rain and thunder and lightning. He tried to destroy all of Braj. He actually tried, and he had the power to do it, to destroy all the cows, all the Brijbasis. And this is what part of what I wanted to speak about. How did Krishna react to this? What did Krishna do when Indra became so disturbed out of his envy and pride and anger and jealousy? What did Krishna do? So this is 25th chapter. Text 8. I'm just going to read from the English. Unfortunately, I cannot speak Hindi. Excuse me. Maybe last life, and maybe next life, but not this life. Huh? Yeah, just those three. Because I don't want the devotees to be distracted. And I'll read it. But you have to listen very carefully, please. On Indra's order, the clouds of universal destruction released untimely from their bonds. They went to the cowherd pastures of Nanda Maharaj, and they began to torment. How do you say torment in Hindi? Torment, torture. Kashta gives so much trouble to the cow pastures of Nanda Maharaj and the inhabitants of Vrindavan by pouring down torrents of rain on them. Propelled by the force, I'll add some words to make it a little easier. Propelled by the fearsome wind gods, the Maruts, the clouds blazed with lightning and roared with thunder as they hurled down hailstones. How do you say hailstones, Hindi? Hole? Hole. Ole. Lightning and thunder and ole came down. As the clouds released torrents of rain that were as thick as massive columns, they were this thick, the rain was coming down so heavily, the earth was submerged in the flood, and high ground could no longer be distinguished from low ground. Everything was covered with water. The cows and other animals, they were shivering. Shivering? Kampana. From the cold and rain and wind. And the cowherd ladies and men, they were in pain from the cold. They were in the greatest difficulty. Our acharyas explain in detail this difficulty, the torture they were feeling. And Indradev was consciously doing this. How many of you have felt at one time or another great, great distress in your life? Please raise your hand. You, Lakshya, you keep your hand down. We pray that you don't have to, but if, of course, if I said how many of you have never experienced any great distress, no one would raise their hand because everyone would be too shy. This is a great test. When the times are easy and we're all happy and there's enough prasadam, then everyone, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. But the real test is, where does the mind go when there's difficulty? But actually, when there's great success and happiness, that's also another test. So we learn from the Brijbasis what it takes to be in Braja, actually. Because whether the Brijbasis were happy or in distress, Krishna was their only shelter. They were in pain from the cold. They all approached Lord Govinda, Krishna, Giridhari. He didn't have that name yet. They approached him for shelter. Saranagati, Gotripte, Varanam Tata. They approached Krishna when they were in difficulty. Trembling from the distress brought about by the severe rainfall, and trying to cover their heads and the calves with their own bodies, the cows even, because the cows, everything, everyone, from the water to the wind to the trees, everyone in Braj is conscious and is a lover of Krishna. So the cows approach the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the cowherd men, here's text 13. Is it up? Yeah. So the cowherd men and women approach the Lord, and this is what they said. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga. But when one is in great distress, one doesn't chant like this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. No. One takes shelter of Krishna with a full heart. So they were calling out to Krishna, 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 Mahabhaga, you are the most fortunate one. Twanata Gokulam Prabhu, you are our Lord. Gokulam Prabhu, you are the Lord of everyone in Gokul. You are our Prabhu, O Master. With full sincerity, They were calling out to Krishna, Krishna. They were calling out his names. Tratum arhasi devana. Devan was Indra, but they wouldn't even mention his name. Please, arhasi. We are yours. They had the right to speak to Krishna like this. We are yours. Because they had given themselves to Krishna completely. We are yours. You please protect us. You are everything to us. Kupida Bhakta Vatsala. And you are known as Bhakta Vatsala. Atma Pajanta Vadanyata. You are so dear to your devotees who are so dear to you. Now here's a question that you're not supposed to raise your hand as an answer to, but it's a question you should ask yourself. Do you trust that? That Krishna will take care of you? If you, because when we think of giving ourselves to Krishna, Saranagati, there's a fear enters the heart of a conditioned soul. If I give myself to Krishna, who's going to take care of me? But this is the mood of the Brijbasis, and this is the mood that all exalted devotees have. Srila Prabhupada once was walking with his devotees in Calcutta near the Victoria Memorial. How many of you have ever seen the Victoria Memorial? Yes, I've also seen it. It's very tall. Prabhupada said it took 20 years for them to build that. And he said, you probably all know this, he said that when they were building it, while he was young, they put up scaffolding, made out of bamboo or something. Pachan? Machan, out of bamboo. How do you say bamboo? Bamboo. Bas. I'm practicing now for next life, don't worry. And Prabhupada said that when he was young, he climbed that to the very top. Raise your hand if you already knew this. Okay. Did you already know? He said he climbed to the top, and then one of the devotees said to him, Prabhupada, you must have been so brave when you were young. And Prabhupada said, I still am brave. Otherwise, how could I have come to your country alone? And how did he do it? And did he want just him to be brave? At this point, I could also speak about most of your Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj, because he did some very brave things also, but I won't do that yet. Yes. Prabhupada wanted everyone, his followers, to be brave. Not necessarily climb the Victoria Memorial, but and not necessarily build big temples and travel all over the world, but to trust Krishna and his protection. Because that type of bravery at the end of our life, we will need that kind of bravery. So the cowherd men and women addressed the Lord, Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the anger of Indra. They didn't ask on behalf of themselves even, because they knew that Govinda loves the cows. They asked on behalf of the cows. Please save the cows. How could this happen to your cows? Oh Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees. Bhaktavatsala, please save us also. I mean, there are so many unlimited things we could say about all this, but you have all been, this is the last day of the program, yes? So everyone is already filled to the top, and I'm already speaking too much. But seeing the inhabitants of his Gokula rendered practically unconscious by the onslaught of the ole, ole is hail, and blasting wind, the Supreme Lord Hari understood that this was the work of angry Indra. He's kupita, he's very angry because he's proud. And Sri Krishna then said to himself, because we have stopped his sacrifice, Indra has caused this unusually fierce, unseasonable rain together with the winds and the hail. By my mystic power, I will completely counteract and stop this disturbance caused by Indra. He will do it. But when Krishna does something, he does many things by his one action. He's going to teach Indra without even saying one word to Indra. He's going to teach Indra in such a way that Indra himself learns the lesson that Krishna wants him to learn. And this, as Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book, is a master teacher. Because if I say, from now on, Lakshit, are you listening? Are you sure? If I give you examination, will you pass? Will you become number one in class? Number two? But listen very carefully. Thank you. This is a trick of a teacher. You tell one little boy that, and then everyone else tends to be a little more careful than they're listening. A master teacher teaches in such a way that the student himself learns the lesson. Because if we learn the lesson ourselves and internalize it, then it is ours. Other things may be theoretically understood. So Krishna sometimes lets us continue with our nonsense and our attachments because he is the most masterful of all teachers. So Krishna said, I will now destroy Indra's ignorance because he is naturally in the mode of goodness. He's a devata, sattva-gun. So this is not appropriate for him to have this pride and this anger. So I am going to teach him and maybe in some way give a slap for his own good. Tate anukampam. So to see the difficulties that we that occur, somehow or another, Krishna's mercy is in that. That takes very, very exalted consciousness to be so sincere. To be so sincere, and that's really what it is. It is a matter of sincerity. Now, then Krishna says, this is the 18th verse. Is the 18th verse up? Tasman mat saranam goshtam. And this is one of the main things I was hoping to say. Tasmat mat saranam goshtam. Because these cowherd persons, these cowherd men and women and everyone in Braj, mat saranam, because they have surrendered, they have given themselves to me, mannatam mat parigraham. They've considered me their Lord. How do you say orphan? Orphan. No, not that orphan. Yeah, anatta. Anatta. Mat parigraham. So one meaning of parigraham, they consider me their own family member. Their Lord and family member. Soyam me, gopaye svatma yogena. By my own power, soyam me vrata ahita. I must protect them. I must give them shelter. I must give them shelter. This is my vrata. It is my vow. It is my promise to protect them and give them shelter. Now, what I would really like to do at this point, that I won't do really, is ask you, what do you think about that? I mean, we all know the right answers, but what do you really, in the deepest part of you, do you trust Krishna and his promise? Very good. When we can, then only we can give ourselves fully to Krishna. Then only we actually become devotees. Then only we can actually become true servants. One time, one very exalted godbrother of mine wrote a poem to Prabhupada. And at the end of every stanza, every part, he said, please accept this from me, your devotee. And Prabhupada wrote back, very nice poem. But you should change that last line from, I am your devotee, to I am your servant. To become a servant, full-hearted servant, is not so easy. But everyone in Braja is that. And it is not done by force. If you don't love me, you ready? That's it. If you don't love me, then you can't be happy. Now, who's going to love based on that? No, Krishna is all attractive and wonderful, and we want to become attracted to the all attractive and wonderful. And then, practically speaking, we can become true servants, true devotees of Krishna. He's all attractive. That means everything that attracts us in this world, everything that attracts us, he has unlimited of that, an ocean. He's all attractive. So here is the translation of that verse, the 18th verse. I, Krishna, thinks. Because it is important that we, because sometimes we talk, we speak, but what we're thinking is something different. I mean, I say we, but I mean I. What does God think? And how do we know what he thinks? Here he's going to tell us, or Srila Sukadeva Swami is going to tell us, I must therefore protect the cowherd community by my transcendental potency, by my power, because I am their shelter. They don't go anywhere else for shelter but me. Because I am their master. They're always thinking of how to serve and please me. Indeed, they are my own family. After all, I have taken a vow to protect my devotees. If we were having a different kind of class now, we would take some time and think about what this means in an introspective way. And how far do I have to go to become, before I become an actual devotee, what to speak of?
Radhe, Radhe.
But yet, of course, we depend on mercy. At least I do. So then, having said this, Lord Krishna, who was Vishnu himself, he picked up Govardhan Hill with one hand and held it aloft just as easily as a child holds up a mushroom. Now, why is this said? Why does Sukadeva Goswami says that he held up the hill as easily as a child holds up a mushroom? Please raise your hand if you'd like to answer. Otherwise, I'll just call on Rishi Kumar Prabhu.
Krishna, Krishna. Because externally, Krishna is a child.
I'm sorry.
Externally, Krishna is a child. Yes. So for him, at that position to raise the Govardhan, is being compared to a child raising a mushroom. And so the mushroom is very light.
Very easy.
It's very easy and it's not at all.
And he gave protection to everyone. Just as easily as a child lifts up a mushroom. Mushroom and mushroom. Not difficult. The left hand is the weaker hand, and the weakest finger on the hand is which one? Lakshit. Which is the weakest finger? What is this called? Angul. What kind of angul is this?
Little finger.
Little angul, yes. Pinky. Do you think Krishna can take care of you? We all say, yes. Okay, good. So he easily held up Govardhan Hill, and the Lord then addressed the cowherd community. O mother, O father, O residents of Braja, if you wish, you may now come under this hill along with your cows. And don't fear that this mountain will fall down from my hand. Ma Bhaishta, don't be afraid. Abhay Charan, no fear because of taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Don't fear that this mountain will fall from my hand. Don't be afraid of the wind. Don't be afraid of the rain or the ole. Ole. For your, listen to this. for your deliverance, your being saved from all these disturbances, from all these troubles, has already been arranged by, he doesn't say it, but he has arranged for each of us, especially if we become like the Brijbasis. Their minds, thus pacified by Lord Krishna, they all entered beneath the hill. There's a comment by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in this regard, where he answers a question. There were so many people in Braja, there were so many cows, there were so many this, there were so many that. They brought all their possessions with them. How could they fit under this one small hill? And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains Krishna's mood. Not only can all of Braja gain shelter under Giriraj, but the whole of the three worlds can get that shelter. You like that, Lakshit? There's room for you too. Krishna will take care of you. And you can have all the sweets you want. Do you like sweets? Now, they found room for their cows, wagons, servants, and priests, and for all other members of the community as well. Now, here's the 23rd verse. What were they doing while they were under the hill? And this has many meanings, this verse, but I'll just emphasize one. Lord Krishna, forgetting hunger and thirst, Lord Krishna forgetting hunger and thirst, and also the meaning can be the Brijbasis also forgetting hunger and thirst, putting aside all considerations of personal pleasure, sukha peksham, they weren't thinking of the difficulties, they weren't thinking of their hunger, they weren't thinking of their thirst, they weren't thinking of any difficulties at all. No thought of personal pleasure. They stood there. Well, Krishna stood there, holding up the hill for 7 days as the people of Braja simply looked at him, gazed at him. They forgot hunger, they forgot thirst, they forgot their personal pleasures, they were completely unselfish, their minds were fully absorbed, just looking at Krishna and how beautiful he is and how he stood there. And they weren't bored. They didn't take out their mobile phones and check their WhatsApps, etc. They were fully satisfied simply looking at
Krishna.
Yes, thank you. Now that is wonderful. But very interestingly, I'll just read this one verse and just make a simple comment. When Indra observed this exhibition of Lord Krishna's mystic power, he became most astonished and pulled down from his platform of false pride and his intentions ruined, thwarted, he ordered the clouds to desist. Now, what do you find interesting about that? Raise your hand. even Rishi Kumar and Amoghal Nilaprabhu who haven't raised their hands, what am I going to do? Because no one's, okay, who's good at mind reading? I'll think about what the answer is and who can read my mind? Only you. There's someone who raised his hand, one brahmachari. I saw you raise your hand. Now you raise two hands. Yes.
I can read your mind. Your mind is saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna.
May your
Krishna,
words come Hare. True. That sounded like a blessing. Anyway, what I was, yes?
Hare Krishna. Ruji, actually, Indra is immediately, he understood his mistake and his false pride immediately came down.
Yes.
So that's okay. A symptom of a devotee.
Yes. Very good. But what I was thinking is so interesting about this is that directly after it, Sukadeva Goswami describes that everyone was, consciousness was full of Krishna. Then 7 days, but no verses describe that 7 days, but immediately now the hill is coming down. So what does Sukadeva Goswami want to tell us? Our great acharyas have expanded what happened under the hill and the leelas are wonderful. But Srila Sukadeva Goswami wants us to notice certain facts and take them very deeply in within us. What Krishna's mood is, what the Brijbasi's mood is, what Indra's mood is, and what we have to aspire for. And then as soon as we learn that, the hill comes down, everyone goes, and then the hill comes down. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. No verses describing what happened under the hill, except that the Brijbasi's were just simply focused on the beautiful form, the all-attractive form of Krishna, who had completely stolen their hearts, their minds, their lives, their energy, their dharma. Priyatamas. Yep, never mind. They had given everything to Krishna out of their great love for him. That's what I wanted to mention about Govardhan Leela. And then I wanted to speak something about His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj, who very much, because the first time I saw him was in 1968 in Montreal. And at that time, he was just a young businessman. And obviously, he had all the capacity for success. But look what he did. Prabhupada wanted him to come to India and serve. And he gave that up when, at this time, there were no other Indian devotees. There was actually one other Indian bhakta who became initiated before him, but he came and left. But His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj came, but never left. Just served Prabhupada. These are the few things I wanted to say about His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj, that he even told me this one time, that he said, I was Prabhupada's gopher. Now, it's just an American slang word. I don't know if anyone knows what that means. It means Prabhupada used to engage him, gopher. Go for this and go for that and go for this and go for that. Whatever Prabhupada asked him to do, he would do. Sometimes it was easy, sometimes it was difficult. What Prabhupada asked him to do, he was Prabhupada's gopher. He did it. And he especially engaged Maharaj in book production, BBT work. And although he was always ready to do the needful, obviously book distribution was so dear to him because it was so important for Srila Prabhupada. But not only did he do book distribution and book production, whenever there was a real need in Prabhupada's society, he was ready to be there and do that. Because I did, for 6 years, I was co-managing Vrindavan on the GBC with Maharaj, and then and some other management later. I saw that whenever there was a need, no matter what he was doing, whenever there was an emergency in Prabhupada's society, he immediately dropped what he was doing and took care of that because he had so much love for Prabhupada's society. He was so dedicated to ISKCON. He was so dedicated to ISKCON because it was Prabhupada's society. And Prabhupada had such hopes and dreams, wonderful dreams for ISKCON. Whether those dreams actually come about or not very much depends on the devotees and whether they will become dedicated and surrendered servants of Srila Prabhupada and his followers. It's not like magic. It's not like taking a pill. It takes so much sacrifice. It takes so much unselfishness. To please, to truly please another. What to speak of a very demanding other who wants everything because he wants you. One other small point, that before Maharaj, every time before he would leave India to preach, he would always go to Vrindavan and do Mangal Arti for Krishna and Balaram. So one time I mentioned that to him, that I noticed this, and he said, "Oh, you noticed?" But he would always do that. Did you notice that? Maybe everyone noticed it, but I also noticed it. He would always offer Mangal Arti to Krishna and Balaram to get some special blessings, protection, because very much his preaching was in Russia too at that time. And also, you look at the, how many temples are there in Delhi, like 17 or something like that? 17, 18, 18. But just look at the Shant Nagar temple, because I mean, that wasn't easy to do. It took so long from the inception, from the idea, even from the getting of the land, what to speak of the getting it constructed. And if you've ever constructed anything, it's not the easiest thing in the world because everyone you're dealing with may not be the most honest of persons. And then there's materials and what to speak of the finances. It took a long time, so much dedication, focus, determination. Because Prabhupada wanted a temple in Delhi, a substantial temple because it's India's capital. So that honor of having that completed that service came to His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj. But he didn't, as Prabhupada said too, I didn't do it alone. He did it with the help of so many sincere and dedicated servants who wanted to please Prabhupada and please this person who wanted to please Prabhupada. He He especially liked traveling and preaching, especially preaching from Bhagavad Gita. And as you all know, especially distributing Bhagavad Gita's, because Prabhupada wanted his books distributed. Now, that's what I will say about His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj, but I wanted to make a few other points. You're all listening so patiently, and I very much appreciate it, because it's hot, it's late, and you're all, and even Lakshit Prabhu is listening so carefully. What did I just say? I caught you. Now you can't say it, because I just said that Lakshit Prabhu was listening so carefully. So, of course, you wouldn't say that.
I'm trying to listen carefully.
Do you like it to listen carefully?
Yes.
Thank you. Now, why, and here's another point. Why was Prabhupada so interested in book distribution? Raise your hand, please, if you would like to say. Matiji, you raised your hand so quickly. You must be distributing books a lot. Why was Prabhupada so interested in book distribution?
Hare Krishna. Because Prabhupada said that our preaching of 2-3 minutes will not work much. But if someone takes a book and reads, his life can be changed.
Yes, he said that. But I heard him say something different than that. Because Prabhupada said different things at different times. He said, we are so interested in book distribution because it is distribution of knowledge. And he repeated it, because it is distribution of knowledge. Because this world is very dangerous at this point, because it is based on ignorance. There's no one, everyone thinks they are their body, obviously, etc., etc. Because it is distribution of knowledge. Knowledge is considered light. Ignorance is considered
darkness.
Thank you. Darkness. And I even saw with my own eyes Prabhupada, and I've mentioned this many times, so if you've already seen me do this, please forgive me. He said, he imitated a book distributor, Prabhupada, please take this book. And then he imitated the person who was receiving the book. And he said, what's in the book? And then he imitated the book distributor, and he said, I don't know what's in it. It's for you. Prabhupada had a sarcastic sense of humor, too. And then he said, this book distribution is not an export business, that it goes through the hand of the exporter, but he doesn't take anything. So and I even heard him say that my only criticism of the devotees is they think my books are for distribution, not for reading. Now, I wanted to end with just two quotations from Prabhupada and his books. The first one is a very famous verse that I don't know by heart. It's a Tadvag Vishago Janatagiviplavo. Do you know that one? Who knows it? Okay, please say it. 158.
Tatvag Visargo Janatagaviplavo.
A little slower, please.
Tatvag Visargo Janatagaviplavo Yasmin Pratishlokam Abhadya Vartmani.
Namani Anantasya.
Namanandasya, Yashonketanija, Srinvandi Gayandi, Srinvandi
Gunanti
Sadova.
Thank you. So here is the translation. Prabhupada is explaining that these books are different from ordinary books, mundane books. He says, this literature, the literature that is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, form, pastimes of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a different creation, full of transcendental words, directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Now, in a different kind of class that would have been much shorter, I would have asked you, what word, what struck you in this verse? There were many things, maybe. Yes, Paul. Thoroughly honest. Whew. That puts a lot of pressure on me. How about 95% for Krishan, something for me? A little torachor? Okay, very wonderful. Anyone else were struck? Yes.
Revolution.
Yeah, that was the word that struck me. Prabhupada really wanted to change the world. Revolution. He wanted the books to be read and change the hearts of individuals, and that would change the world. Now, why did he want the world to change? After all, we're increasing in prosperity, so many wonderful things, health benefits. Why did he want to change the world so intensely? This Prabhupada's purport is a little long, but I've picked out one paragraph, or a little more than one paragraph. Now, it's very difficult to just listen with a focused mind, but I humbly request you to not listen to me, but listen to what Prabhupada says here. And I will ask you that same question. What struck you? What do you remember deeply from Prabhupada's words? Only if I had it in Hindi. You have it? But I'll read it. I'm sorry, it should be read in Hindi, but I'll read it in English. While preparing this comment on this specific stanza of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says, we have a crisis before us. Our neighboring friend China has attacked the border of India with a militaristic spirit. We have practically no business in the political field. Yet, we see that previously there were both China and India, and they both lived peacefully for centuries, hundreds of years, without any bad feeling. The reason is that they lived those days in an atmosphere of God consciousness. And every country over the surface of the world was God-fearing, pure-hearted, and simple. And there was no question of political diplomacy. There was no cause of quarrel between the two countries, China and India, over land which is not very suitable for habitation. And certainly there is no cause for fighting on this issue. Now, listen to this very carefully. And you have the point where I am? No, it's a a little hard to find. But listen to this one sentence, two sentences. But due to the age of quarrel, Kali, which we have discussed, there is always a chance of quarrel over a slight, small provocation, over nothing in Kali Yuga. People are ready to quarrel and ready to fight. This is not due to the issue in question. It doesn't have anything to do with the reasons that everyone says that they're disagreeing and fighting over. It has to do with the polluted atmosphere of the age of Kali. Do you have that one sentence? That two sentences there? Prabhupada continues. Systematically, there is propagation by a section of people to stop glorification of the name and fame of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, conclusion, there is a great need for disseminating, preaching, distributing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. It is the duty of every responsible Indian to broadcast this transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the world, to do all the supermost good, as well as to bring about the desired peace in the world. Then Prabhupada, I can't do it because I am a guest in India, but Prabhupada criticizes because India has failed in her duty by neglecting this responsible work of preaching. There is so much quarrel and trouble all over the world. And we are confident that if the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam is received only by the leading men of the world, certainly there will be a change of heart, and naturally the people in general will follow. Now, I still beg your attention because this is very important. Our presenting this matter in adequate language, especially a foreign language, Prabhupada was writing in English, will certainly fail. And there will be so many literary discrepancies, faults, despite our honest attempt to present it in the proper way. But we are sure that with all our faults in this connection, the seriousness of the subject matter will be taken into consideration, and the leaders of society will still attempt this due to its being an honest attempt to glorify the Supreme, the Almighty God. When there is a fire in the house, the inmates of the house go out to get help from the neighbors who may be foreigners, and yet without knowing their language, the victims of the fire express themselves. And the neighbors understand the need, even though not expressed in the same language. Now here is one last sentence by Prabhupada, which is very important. Please listen carefully. Try your best. The same spirit of cooperation is needed to broadcast this transcendental message of the Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the polluted atmosphere of the world. Now, there's still one other thing I wanted to read about cooperation. Because Prabhupada himself, when near the end of his life, in this life, in Vrindavan, Prabhupada said all the devotees should come, all his disciples should come. And then one of the devotees put it up in an objection. He said, all the devotees love you, and everyone will come. And then what about the temples? All the devotees love you, he said. And then Prabhupada said something very deep, but on a completely different level. He said, the test of how much they love me will be how much they are ready to cooperate after I leave this world in this movement. Very heavy. Because in my opinion, that's probably the most difficult thing in the world to do, is to cooperate. Because I have my idea, this person has his idea, and this person has his idea. How can this cooperation actually be done? But yet, this was the thing that Prabhupada said was required, the test to please him. And when I say I think this is the most difficult thing, I'm not being humble or joking. I'm talking about me being brought up the way I'm brought up. And just having experienced ISKCON for 55 years or so, cooperation is very difficult. There's so much I could say about this. But I'll just read one other thing that Prabhupada said. And this is seems like a very simple purport, but it's actually very deep. Prabhupada says this is about the Prachetas. Since the sons of King Prachinibharhishet were all united in Krishna consciousness, the Lord was very pleased with them. Each and every one of the sons of King Prachinibharhishet was an individual soul, but they were united in offering transcendental service to the Lord. The unity of the individual souls attempting to satisfy the Supreme Lord or rendering service to the Lord is real unity. But then Prabhupada says, in the material world, such unity or cooperation is not possible. So he said, this is the most important thing and it's so pleasing to the Lord. And then he says, it's not possible. And even I know of one time someone, a friend of mine, devotee friend, wrote Prabhupada a letter and said, in our temple, the devotees aren't fighting. And Prabhupada said, this is just a dream. He said, this is just utopian fiction. don't expect a society to be a dream. Because then, if you're too dreamy, you become cynical and disappointed. Better to be realistic and understand we're dealing with so many individuals. But Prabhupada then adds another very interesting point. Even though people may officially unite, they all have different interests. In the United Nations, for instance, all the nations have their particular national ambitions. And consequently, they cannot be united. Disunity between individual souls is so strong within this material world that even in a society of Krishna consciousness, members sometimes appear disunited due to having different opinions and leaning towards material things. This is Prabhupada speaking. But, he says, he didn't say but, I said that. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, now listen carefully because this is not as simple as it sounds. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be two opinions. There's only one goal, to serve Krishna to one's best ability. If there is some disagreement over service, such disagreement is taken as spiritual. You know this very well, this purport. Thank you. Those who are actually engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be disunited in any circumstance. This makes the Supreme Personality of Godhead very happy and willing to award all kinds of benedictions to his devotees, as indicated in this verse. Very simple. The real thing is cooperation. But Prabhupada said that this is not possible in the material world, such degree of cooperation. So we think that's bad, that's all due to false ego. And then Prabhupada said, no, not necessarily. He said that there can be different opinions. First he says there cannot be two opinions because there is only one goal, but there sometimes appears to be disunited. But long as there is one goal to serve Krishna to the best of one's ability, such disagreements is taken as spiritual. Now, how is a manager supposed to deal with that one? The disagreements are spiritual, but cooperation is not possible fully in this world. And yet cooperation is pleasing to the Lord. What is the solution of this? I will just say two things. Although that's very difficult for me, I will try my best because it's getting so late. One is that everyone should sincerely try to keep Krishna's pleasure in the center. Krishna, Prabhupada, and Krishna's dear ones, and be thinking in terms of, will this be pleasing to Krishna? Will this be pleasing to Prabhupada? Will this be pleasing to my Guru Maharaj? Keep that as the center. And then the disagreements will indeed be caused by maybe some spiritual differences. And they won't be disunity because the center is the same to please Krishna. Easy to speak about. Not so easy to do. But yet, this is what we are striving for. Krishna in the center. This is the mood of Vrindavan. This is the mood of the Brijbasis. And if we examine our own consciousness to see if we are really placing Krishna in the center, is this for the pleasure of Krishna, or is this just for the pleasure of me? Sometimes we will find out that everything I do is not for the pleasure of Krishna. Sometimes I have some svartha, some false ego, some self-interest involved. And if we happen to find out this is the case, we should become a little humble in our insistence that it must be done in this way. Now I will close with one final story, pastime of Prabhupada's, that I heard, and I won't give a purport on it, but I'll leave it for you to think about, because I already spoke too long. But actually, I was told to speak for an hour and a half, And that's exactly what I've done, but I was only trying, my doctor told me to only speak for 20 minutes. But I couldn't do that because there were so many because the pastimes of Krishna and his devotees are wonderful. But I will tell you a story, a pastime that I heard spoken at Prabhupada's disappearance day, and it took place in all places in Delhi. In the early days of the Delhi temple, it was very austere. The deities, Radhaparta Sarthi, were living in a little room on the roof of the temple. And that was all that there was. And if you wanted to attend Mangalarti, you were outside of that room. It was very austere. The devotees were very poor. There was no opulence. There was no wealth at all. And when the times are austere, it's difficult to always be on one's best behavior. When one's belly is always full, then we can be more peaceful inside. But when things are very austere, sometimes we are not peaceful inside. So this one Mataji, a Western Mataji, was staying in the Delhi temple, and I heard her tell this story this past time. The devotees were always fighting with each other. And she went to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, I can't tolerate it anymore. The devotees are always fighting." And Prabhupada said, "If there is a fight amongst devotees, both devotees are at fault." Of course, he was speaking in this context, and sometimes someone is doing something really wrong, incorrect, and then it's the person's, the authority's duty to rectify things. If there's a fight amongst devotees, both devotees are at fault. It means that both are not humble enough. I thought about it and thought about it, and she didn't explain more, but I understood that if one person wants to fight and the other person refuses to fight, there can be no fight. Once when I was going to Delhi in a car, in Faridabad, some driver hit, and another car hit our car. And when there's an accident in India, what happens? Both drivers get out of the car and they criticize each other, that it's the other person's fault. And that goes on for some minutes, 10, 15 minutes, and the crowd gathers around and watches, and then runs out of energy and everyone goes their way. But in this incident, our driver came out, his name was Radhakrishnan, came out and started chastising the other driver, and the other driver just went like this. And there was it was over in 1 minute. So of course there are subtleties in this. And we can't, and it's not everyone's duty at all times to just go like this, whatever you want, Prabhu. Of course, I don't mean that. But it's something to think about as we try to put the pleasure of Guru, Vaishnavas, and Srila Prabhupada in the center of our lives, and thereby live happily in the shelter of Guru's Govardhan, being lifted by the little hand of Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Jai Ho. Is Res Burjan Prabhu Ji Ki Jai.